Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, I will give you my earlier this morning, continuing my 80s journey. I will give you my review on The Thing coming up in about 15 minutes. But I am very happy to be joined by our next guest. We have our final two guests today in our mystery blast from Royals past. Our next guest played for the Royals from 2003 to 2010. Former Royals outfielder David DeJesus joins us on the show. David, we appreciate you coming on. We are doing this to find out what former Royals like yourself are up to. So what's going on in your life?
Oh, man. I'm doing good. I'm living out on the West Coast. And my son is 11 years old now. It's crazy because he was born in 2010, my last year in Kansas City, and now he's 11, and I'm actually a coach for his baseball team. So it's a weird ride, but it's awesome.
How is that going?
It's cool. You know, I don't ever want to coach. You know, that seems like such a crazy job to have, but now being with his travel team and just coaching up these kids, I understand the importance of good coaching, and I'm trying to be that for him, and who knows where it's going to go from here, but the most important thing is me being there for my son and his friends on his team.
So we've been taking fan requests and allowing people to let us know who they want on the show this week. You were the number one person that people wanted on the show this week. What is it like to know that you're that kind of fan favorite still here in Kansas City?
That's awesome to hear. I'm so appreciative of the fans there. You know, they're just high-quality fans in Kansas City. You know, we didn't have really good – we weren't putting the best baseball out there on the field, but I'm thankful that they respected the way I went out there and played the game because I wanted to have fun and give my best every time out there, and it sounds like they appreciated that.
So you make your major league debut in 2003, but you made it later in the season, so you sort of missed the fun and excitement that season was here in Kansas City.
Oh, totally. Missed all that. I got there in September, and they were already out of it. But it was just a great time being around just the guys. And this is a good story. 2003, I get called up. They're playing the Texas Rangers. And walk into the park, my locker is between, on one side, it's Carlos Beltran, and the other side, it's Mike Sweeney. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. All right, I'd be seen, not heard, push my chair all the way into the locker and just do my thing. So Mike Sweeney walks up behind me. He's like, Dave, stand up. And I stand up, and he's like, he gives me the biggest hug. You know, Mike Sweeney's a hugger. He gives me a big hug. He's like, hey, you belong here. And that's something to this day, kind of, you know, that could have been a change career path type of moment. And he understood how valuable supporting people was. And whenever I get to see him, I always thank him for those words.
Right now we're talking to former Royals outfielder David DeJesus. So you actually replaced Carlos Beltran once he got traded to the Houston Astros. You didn't get a lot of time around Beltran. Was he one of your mentors? Was he a guy who kind of helped you early on in your career?
You know, not really. Not really as a guy that I can talk to. But watching him work before the game, during the game, after the game, it was, you know, hitting the weights when he needed to. The amount of time he put into his swing, just the way he attacked the game, was something that I watched from the sideline. And I was like, man, just the way he was didn't let everything affect him. He was like, all right, if I went 0 for 4, if he went 4 for 4, you would not know the way he handled himself, you know, how he was doing. That's what I saw, and that's leadership sometimes. There's leadership like Mike Sweeney where he's going to talk to you, he's going to love on you, but there's other leadership where he goes and does the right thing, and then other people see that, and they want to follow that as well.
You're one of the few players that actually played in Old Kauffman and New Kauffman. So the stadium was renovated from 07 to 09. And I remember that first day once it was completely done and the excitement that was there. What was it like to see the stadium transform basically your entire career?
Yeah, it was awesome. The transformation that stadium made, it's one of the best in the game. To be honest with you, still, I played it all the stadiums. But when you go into Kansas City, you see that big sign, you see all the fire along the fence. It's one of the prettiest stadiums to watch a baseball game at. And, you know, they had some good ball there for a while. Now they're starting to reload and starting to bring some new guys up. But it is one of the best stadiums. If you're a fan, if there's a stadium you want to go to, I'd say go to Kansas City because it's visually just one of the prettiest stadiums to sit in.
So we talk about transformations. You also saw the transformation from pre-Dayton Moore to when Dayton started to implement his system and kind of his vision was starting to build. What was the difference you noticed in the Royals over from when you got there to when you finally left as Dayton got more comfortable in his position?
Dayton was just one of those guys that, you know, coming from over from the Atlanta Braves, you're like, oh, is this going to be Atlanta Braves? You know, they had to wear collared shirts all the time to the ballpark. You just didn't know what to expect. So that first couple of years, he was kind of just implementing just being around us. But once he got comfortable, it was just getting to know him was the biggest thing. This dude really handled people the right way. He really was upfront, talked to you how it was, straight shot you. And you can see the way he handled the COVID where he took care of all the people that were working there. He was one of the first guys in baseball to step up and pledge to the workers that he's going to continue doing that. So he's just a guy that really cares for people, and that's what the biggest thing Dayton Moore did for the franchise. He cared about people.
One thing, David, that's really cool is to see a lot of former players like yourself say, hey, I know we didn't win as much as I wanted to during this time, but genuinely be happy for the city, happy for the franchise to see them have the success in 2014 and 2015 where a lot of former Royals have come back, a lot of former Royals sort of showed their support for what the Royals did a few years ago.
Yes, it was awesome to see because I remember having the Mike Moustakas, having the Eric Hosmers take BP with us. They were the first-round pick. They take BP with us. And you just see how special these guys were. And then you have Greinke there, you know, at that time. You just see things were starting to build. And sometimes we're the subtractions that made the additions to get to where they needed to be. So, you know, I always have a place in my heart for Kansas City because that was the first team that drafted me. You know, I spent 8 years there. So that's always, if anyone asks me, where's your favorite place to play? It always starts with Kansas City because I was able to have an opportunity to grow my career there and establish myself as a big league player. But it's so great to see what they did, what they accomplished, because they changed the game. They really did. They were the first one that did that bullpen thing. They just had three studs on the back end, two closed games out. You really only had six innings to score. And their offense did enough to get the job done.
Right now we're talking to former Royal David DeJesus. He was on the club from 2003 to 2010. What was it like to finally be bumped up to be a starter where Carlos Beltran gets moved out and then you became the Royal starting fielder and you had a lot of success early on in your career?
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to 2004. So I didn't make the team out of spring training. I thought I was going to. I do good in AAA, and at that time, probably around, I think early June, I got called up, and I go 1-for-23, and I'm hating my life. I am walking to the ballpark every day, please, saying, please, I hope my name is not in the lineup. That's when you know you're messed up. In the big leagues, you're telling yourself that. So I finally get sent down, and it took me a while to really get my – it was more mentally. I was beaten up mentally. So it took me a month and a half to get back my swing back, thinking that I can play in the big leagues. So we were in Louisiana playing against the Houston Astros' AAA team. We got rained out that day. So we're all sitting around. There's a big TV in the locker room. We're sitting around. We're watching ESPN. Across the screen on the game, it says, alert, Carlos Beltran just got traded to the Astros. At that point, Mike Gerschle calls me into his office, and he's like, hey, Dave, this is your opportunity. Now, you know, you went up, you struggled last time. Now they want to see you grow, and here's your spot. You have the center field spot open. Go and take it. So I get to the airport, and funny is John Buck was a piece of the trade from the Astros side. We were playing against that team. We met at the plane. It actually ends up being, he's my best man at my wedding. So that was pretty sick. But after that, I hit 309 for the rest of the season, was the Major League Player of the Year that year. So it was such an up and down season. But that season gave me the confidence to understand that I can play with these guys and I belong in the big leagues. And I was able just to continue that mentality throughout the rest of my time in Kansas City.
It's funny you talk about the confidence and you really feeling like you hit your stride. So my producer, Rob, the person that booked this interview, he thinks that you should be in the Royals Hall of Fame. Do you think you should be in the Royals Hall of Fame?
I mean, that's stuff for people to talk about. I know that I played some good baseball over there. You know, I really did. I feel like my best years were in Kansas City. So that's up to them. If they want to put me in, great. I'm always down to go back to KC. But if not, I still know that I gave my heart and soul to Kansas City. So that's all that I can really hang my hat on.
So you get traded in 2010 to the Oakland Athletics. You talk about Dayton sort of being a stand-up individual. What about that conversation do you remember when he tells you? Because you did play good baseball here in Kansas City. I mean, your last year in Kansas City, you hit 318. You had a great year, and then you get traded to another team.
I know, and I think it was money. I was like, I had a 6 mil option. So, you know, Kansas City at that time, once you're making a little bit more money, they were always looking to trade, and that's the way it was for a small market team. So I remember I spent my off season in Chicago that year, and I just got done working out, and I'm like looking at my phone. I'm like, why is Dayton calling me? This is weird. Okay. Get on the phone. And he's like, you know, you're a great player. We're so thankful for what you've done. And then there's always that but, because I got that same but when I got traded from the Chicago Cubs to the Washington Nationals from Theo Epstein. So I knew, I already had that butt from Dayton Moore, but it was, but, you know, we just feel like this is the best move for our team moving forward. And, you know, I was like, you know, it's kind of a shock because you just plan on, you want to be that player that plays on one team through your career. And I saw the good things happening. You see the minor leagues, they're starting to load up down there and you wanted to be a part of it. But baseball's a business, and you understand that, you know, sometimes guys got to go. That subtraction that adds to addition on the long end. So I think that's what it was. But, you know, Dayton was great. He told me how it was. And, you know, it's just like, okay, now I'm going to Oakland. Probably the least – there were two teams that I did not want to go to, was Tampa or Oakland. And I was like, oh, man. All right, here we go. But it was cool.
And then when you think about it, you ended up playing in both Tampa and Oakland.
That's hilarious, right? The way the Lord works sometimes.
Last thing here, David, and I'm happy that you got the opportunity to come on. What do you remember most about your time in Kansas City? I know you didn't have the most on-the-field success that you would have liked to have while you were here, but you certainly were a fan favorite. It sounds like you enjoyed your time here. What do you think most fondly on your start here in Kansas City?
I think it's just that the steps of becoming a big league ball player. is the growth of, I mean, getting drafted from a small town in New Jersey to stepping onto that big, the big league field, and man, like, how am I going to make a career of this? But then the ups and downs of life through baseball, it grew me as a person and grew me as a baseball player. So, you know, the fans were great. They were there. It's just we didn't have, you know, enough firepower to compete with the White Sox, the Twins, those teams at that time. But it doesn't take away from me enjoying being a big league baseball player out of Kansas City. I bought a house there. My home was in Kansas City for those years. Being a big league baseball in Kansas City. So it was fun. I'm thankful. I built my family there. So, you know, I just want to thank everyone for showing up during those times.
That is former Royals outfielder David DeJesus joining us on the show today. He played from the Royals from 2003 to 2010. He was our most requested guest to join us this week as we celebrate the All-Star Game. David, yeah, man, it was an honor to catch up with you, man. I'm really happy you got a chance to come on today. Thank you.
It was a pleasure, guys. Thank you so much.
That was former Royals outfielder David DeJesus joining us on the show today. Rob, you know what? Sometimes you come through for the people. Today, you came through for the people. Now, we only have one more guest left in our mystery blast from Royals Past. I've only asked for one person. I've only asked for Jason Grimsley. The text line to ask for people. You've come through for the text line. You came through for the text line with Aaron Crow. You came through with the text line on all these other people. I don't know why you can't come through on the text line for the one person that I've asked for. Aaron Crow was on the show. And David DeJesus has been on the show. I haven't asked for a lot, bruh. I asked for Jason Grimsley and Mike Aviles. And we only have one more guest left. So it can't be both of those people. Next year, if we do this again, I don't know the text line, if you want us to do this again, we need to make a whole new list and start over. We need to have Mike Aviles on here.
Someone on the text line says, get Mark Tian. Thanks for listening, guy.
Mark Tian was on yesterday.
I know.
I would say most of the people that the text line now is like, you guys should get, we already have had.
Like earlier, someone was like, Jimmy Gobble.
Mike, yeah, Jimmy Gobble was on
the show yesterday.
Jimmy was on the show. All right. Coming up in a little bit, I will give you another one of my NFL lists. If you missed it, I gave my top 10 list of NFL teams heading into the season. Number 10 was Tennessee. Number 9 was Cleveland. Number 8 was Seattle. Number 7 was Green Bay. Number 6 was San Francisco. Number 5 was Baltimore. 4, Tampa Bay. 3, Buffalo. 2, the Los Angeles Rams. And number 1 was the Kansas City Chiefs. So my next list, I have made what I think the 10 best skill position players are in the NFL. I'll do quarterbacks on a separate list. I didn't break it down from wide receiver or running back or tight end. It was just skill position players in the NFL. I'll give you that list coming up in just a little bit. But I need one caller right now, 913-576-7610. One thing I've really appreciated doing over the course of this week is really testing Rob's baseball knowledge. Rob is a big baseball fan. One of the biggest baseball fans that I know. Rob is one of those people that will randomly watch Braves and Mets on Thursday night baseball. Just for no reason, just to watch Ronald Acuna play baseball. He'll just watch him. So I've been really impressed with Rob's memory of old Royals teams. So Rob, I have come up with a game to test your Royals knowledge. I wrote down all 18 outfielders who started for the Royals on opening day from 2000 to 2010. Now, some of these are fairly obvious ones, but there are 18 separate ones. How many do you think you'll get out of the 18 separate Royals who started in the outfield for the Royals on opening day from 2000 to 2010?
I think I can get a solid 14.
You think you'll get 14? All right.
Mohammed, we appreciate you calling. Rob thinks that he'll get 14 of the 18. Are you going with the over or the under here?
I'm going to say under.
Okay. Mohammed has no faith in your ability when it comes to knowing the Royals. All right, Rob. And I'll give you this. You've been strong at this so far, but this might be the biggest and toughest challenge for you. There were 18 separate outfielders who started in the outfield on opening day from 2000 to 2010. Let's see how many you can name. Hit the music.
Okay, well, I'll start with the obvious ones. Carlos Beltran.
Correct.
Jermaine Dye.
Correct.
David DeJesus.
Absolutely.
Mark Tian.
Correct.
That's Mark four. Quinn. Mark Quinn?
Mark Quinn did not.
Oh.
Mark Quinn is a no.
Raul Ibanez.
Correct. You have one strike.
Michael Tucker.
Correct. Let me find his name. Okay.
Alex Gordon?
He did not.
Not in the outfield?
No, he did not.
Mm.
He did not start in the outfield from 2000 to 2010. He didn't start until 2011, if you remember.
I'm trying to remember if he was back in that 09 team that opened the stadium or not. Okay. Coco Crisp.
Not on the list. Not
Coco
on the
Crisp
list.
Wasn't on opening day?
He did not. You know what? I'll give you two more strikes just because this is a little tougher. There's a lot of obvious names that are on here that Coco, you know.
Coco Crisp's a no. That's wild.
So right now you have gotten six of the 18 who started for the Royals on opening day.
My confidence is shaking.
It should be shaking. You're not good at this.
That was real bad. Goodness. Now I'm
going to give you two more strikes.
All right.
It seems like Muhammad's about to win a T-shirt.
Aaron Guile.
Not.
What?
Oh, yeah, he is. He's on the list. My bad. He's on the list.
Aaron Guile's
on the list. My apologies.
All right.
I just wrote down Guile, so I confused myself.
Juan Gonzalez?
Not on the list.
Juan Guile must have played DH in 04.
He did.
God, they had what did they do with Sweeney that day? That team had Harvey, too. Okay.
You have one more strike.
Mindy Lopez get a start?
Not on here. This was a bad showing from you, my boy.
I did bad.
This was a bad showing. All right, Muhammad, just for fun. All right, Muhammad, Rob was able to name seven outfielders who started opening day for the Royals from 2000 to 2010. Beltran, Dye, Michael Tucker, Raul Ibanez, Aaron Guile, and Mark Tian. Mohammed, can you name one more Royal who started in the outfield in the 2000s?
Easy. Reggie Sanders.
Reggie Sanders is correct. Reggie Sanders. Let's get Mohammed a T. We'll do something else. We'll allow one texter the opportunity to win a shirt. 913-576-7610. These are the outfielders that are taken. Because I know you'll repeat one that's on there. So there were 18 separate outfielders who started on opening day for the Royals from 2000 to 2010. Rob named Beltran, Dye, Michael Tucker, Raul Ibanez, Aaron Guile, David DeJesus, and Mark Tian. Mohammed named another one, Reggie Sanders, the first person on the text line to get one of the other correct answers. We'll give you a shirt, and I'll read the list coming up on the other side. It's The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Let's give you the National Cash Contest code word for 3 o'clock. It is microphone, M-I-C-R-O-P-H-O-N-E. The National Cash Contest code word for 3 o'clock is microphone, M-I-C-R-O-P-H-O-N-E, microphone. Text that to 72881. Your National Cash Contest code word for 3 o'clock is a microphone, M-I-C-R-O-P-H-O-N-E. Text that to 72881. Coming up in about 45 minutes, we will have our final mystery Royals guest. This has been a very fun exercise. I've really enjoyed it. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed it. This is something that we'll bring back. This has been a lot of fun. I haven't heard from guys like Jimmy Gobble or John Buck in such a long time that it was a lot of fun to catch up with those guys. So hopefully you guys have enjoyed it this week. We have one more former Royal to join the show. We'll tell you who that is coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. So Rob, let me unveil the list to you. So we had David DeJesus on the show earlier today. He played from the Royals from 03 to 2010. So I looked this up. You can fact check me. There were 18 separate outfielders to start on opening day for the Royals from 2000 to 2010. You only got 6 after thinking that you were going to get 14 of them. Muhammad stole your shine, and one of the texters also swooped in and stole your shine. This is the list, Rob. Carlos Beltran, Jermaine Dye, Johnny Damon, D. Brown, Chuck Knoblauch, Michael Tucker, Raul Ibanez, Aaron Guile, David DeJesus, Desi Relaford started opening day for the Royals, Terrence Long, Emile Brown, Joey Gathright, Reggie Sanders, Mark Tien, Mitch Meyer, Jose Guillen, Scott Podsednik. That is the list for your Kansas City Royals from 2000 to 2010. This was, I'm not going to lie to you, Rob, this has been a lot of fun. We failed by not having Emile Brown on the show. We failed. We failed everybody by not having Emile Brown on here. I desperately wanted to hear from Emile Brown. What does Emile Brown do? Did you even make contact with Emile Brown? Like, did you put out the APB that we want to talk to Emile Brown and he just turned us down?
I have done the work to try to find Emile Brown, but it is more difficult to find him than previously imagined.
He's not on. He definitely has a Facebook account. Emile definitely has a Facebook account. He's probably a grandfather now at this point. Emil Brown's probably living a great life. Next week, I don't care if we're still doing this or not. If Emil Brown wants to come on the show next week, this show will take Emil Brown. This show will absolutely take an Emil Brown. I don't know if we take like Renovis Hernandez next week. I'm kind of like, all right, it's over. But I'll take Emil Brown. 100%. We'll take Emil Brown. Okay, so at the top of the show, I gave my list of the top 10 teams I believe there are in the NFL. At 10, so this is from 10 to 1. Tennessee, Cleveland, Seattle, Green Bay, San Francisco, Baltimore, Tampa Bay, Buffalo, the Rams, and the Chiefs. I think the Rams are the best team in the NFC on paper. Now, games do not play themselves out on paper, but I think the Rams are the most talented team in the NFC. So for this next one I have put together, I am going to give you my list of offensive skill position players. I didn't want to go through and give you a running back list and a wide receiver list and a tight end list. I didn't want to waste you guys' time. So, Rob, this list I'm going to give you for my offensive skill position players is based on if I'm starting a team, this is the order that I would take. This is the thing. This is the order of the players that I would take on my team if I am an owner of a franchise. That's how I try to evaluate it. If you guys don't like that evaluation, make your own list. But that's how I'm doing this. I'm starting my own franchise. This is what I would do. Rob, hit my list. At number 10, I have DK Metcalf. Now, I love DK Metcalf. I don't know if it's just the size or the speed, but last year, DK took a massive step forward. Rob, I don't know if I've told you my theory or not, but for the most part, by the end of year two, you know if you have a star wide receiver. DK Metcalf as a rookie had 60 catches for 900 yards last year, 83 catches, 1,300 yards, 10 touchdowns, and he might be the most athletic human being walking the face of the earth. DK Metcalf is my number 10 selection on offensive skill position players. Number 9, Rob, is where my first running back comes off the board. Rob, I know on your list you would have no running backs. There's no running back worthy of being in top 10 offensive skill position players. I love Nick Chubb. This is where I was kind of stuck on what I put Nick Chubb or what I put Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook is actually not going to make my top 10. I don't love Dalvin Cook the way that everybody else does. I think Nick Chubb is the second best running back in the NFL behind Derrick Henry. I have always been a big fan. Last year, did you know that last year Nick Chubb averaged 5.6 yards a carry and had 12 touchdowns last season? He can catch the ball out of the backfield just a little bit, but I think the usage is perfect for Nick Chubb. One of the best 1-2 punches in the NFL. I have Nick Chubb coming in as my 9th best offensive skill position player in the league. I sort of feel like I'm maybe more down on this next player than everybody else is. I have Devontae Adams as the number 8 offensive skill position player in the league. I don't know what it is with Devontae Adams that just makes me not love him the way that everybody else does, but it's hard to deny what he did last year. 115 catches, almost 1,400 yards. He had 18 touchdowns last season. Devontae Adams had a monster year last year. Devontae Adams comes in as number 8 for me. I got Diggs as number 7 for me. Stephon Diggs as number 7. Maybe this is a little bit of guilt because I didn't think that Diggs was a legitimate number 1 wide receiver. But last year when he finally got the opportunity, he took an incredible leap forward. And for about a 6-week span there, Diggs was virtually unstoppable. Oddly enough, the last team to stop Stephon Diggs was the Kansas City Chiefs. Remember going into that game with some worry about what he was going to do? I don't know why you were worried. Diggs was fantastic last year, but he was not good against the Chiefs, really in both matchups against Kansas City. I got Diggs as 7. I got Kittle still at 6. Now, my biggest argument for Kittle at this point, Rob, is just positional value. There's just not that many good tight ends in the league. How many good tight ends do you think there are in the league? 5?
Hockenson, Andrews, Waller.
I think it's four. I don't think Hockenson in this category yet.
There's just not that many. There's 40 good wide receivers in the league. There's only three or four tight ends. He's a guy who can have 1,100 yards receiving. He's also a guy who's going to be a plus-plus in the run game. I like George Kittle a lot. I got Kittle as the sixth best offensive player in the NFL. Now here's we get into players that I just absolutely love. I don't know if you know this or not, Rob. One of my five favorite players in the league is Alvin Kamara. I'm a big Alvin Kamara fan. Last year, Alvin Kamara had 930 yards rushing and had 800 yards receiving. He scored 21 total touchdowns last season. There might not be a better all-purpose weapon right now in the NFL than Alvin Kamara. I have him as number five on my list. Number four, Tyreek Hill. Now, I really went back and forth on whether I was going to put Hill at third or fourth because you know that I think DeAndre Hopkins is the best wide receiver in the NFL. But it is impossible to deny the speed and the absolute nightmare Tyreek Hill is to match up against. I think Tyreek Hill's ceiling is obviously greater than DeAndre Hopkins because of his speed. I just think the floor for Hopkins is so high just with his hands, how big he is. I'm a huge fan of DeAndre Hopkins. So I have Tyreek Hill at four. I have DeAndre Hopkins at three. Travis Kelce I have as the second best offensive weapon in the NFL. I talk about Diggs in that six-week stretch. The second half of the season, you were not defending Travis Kelce. He was a lock for five catches and 100 yards for basically the last 2 months of the season. I got Travis Kelce, the second best offensive skill position player in the NFL. And yes, Rob, number one is a running back. The number one offensive skill position player in the league is Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, since the second half of 2019, has been one of the five greatest running backs in the history of the league. I'm not saying he is that right now. I'm saying is if you go back to basically the game against Kansas City in the regular season back in 2019 up until today and look at his numbers, look at his production, look at we all know that he's getting the ball. He's had five 200-yard rushing games since that point, Rob. The best offensive skill position player in the league is Derrick Henry. That's my list. DK Metcalf, Nick Chubb, Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs, George Kittle, Alvin Kamara, Tyreek Hill, DeAndre Hopkins, Travis Kelce, and Derrick Henry. Those are the 10 offensive skill position players in the league.
We are up against a break. I could do next 19 minutes on why no running back deserves to be on your list, and running back at one is nonsense. The list is nonsense. Running back at one, just foolishness.
I did struggle with where to put Christian McCaffrey. I had to knock him for the injury last year, though. I had to knock Christian McCaffrey. I'm a big Christian McCaffrey person. I had to knock him for the injury. So we'll get your reaction coming up on the other side. I also watched The Thing. I will give you my official review of The Thing. That's next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We got some NBA breaking news. So earlier today, there was a report that Damian Lillard was going to request a trade. For those of you that follow NBA media, Chris Haynes, who works at Yahoo, was the former beat writer of the Portland Trailblazers before he was at Yahoo. So I wasn't believing it unless Chris Haynes reported it. So 30 minutes later, Chris Haynes had a one-on-one with Damian Lillard and then announced that Lillard would comment later in the day. We now have the comment from one of the five best players in the league. Damian Lillard says he woke up to reports of him on the verge of requesting a trade and says that it is not true. And secondly, that he hasn't made any firm decisions on what his future will be. Rob, is that not code for later this summer he is going to ask a trade? Anytime they ask you if you're happy about what team you're on in the NBA and you say, I haven't made any firm decisions on what I want to do, you've made a firm decision. You ain't going back to Portland. I fully expect after the draft, maybe more a little bit further than that, once he comes back from the Olympics, I expect a formal trade demand, request might be the better way of putting it, from Damian Lillard. I do not think that Lillard will play another game for the Portland Trailblazers. I think he's gone.
Yeah, I think this is saying I want to trade without saying I want to trade. I woke up saying the trade rumors weren't true, but I haven't made any decisions yet. We'll just see. That's what's happened. It's not a trade request yet, but a trade request seems like it will probably be the path for Damian Lillard, which if I'm the Blazers, I would want the request now because you could get this stuff moving before the draft and feasibly get high-priced assets in this upcoming draft. If it's after the draft, you're kind of waiting in the wings with the Damian Lillard trade request. If I'm the team, I'm kind of treating it like a request as of now.
Yeah, he's in a very unique situation, and we'll get back to my movie review here in a little bit. He's in a very unique situation where he is at the same place in his career that Kevin Garnett was. Kevin Garnett was a first ballot Hall of Famer. Everybody knew how great of a player he was. And there was an acknowledgement that you have done as much as you can do for the Minnesota Timberwolves. That if you ask for a trade, there's really no backlash. Like, I know we think this way about Tony Gonzalez, but this is the same place that Tony Gonzalez was in. I understand that maybe Tony didn't handle his time in Atlanta and maybe show the proper respect to Kansas City, so that's why people feel the way they feel about him. But there's no denying that Tony gave everything he could to the Chiefs organization, and they weren't going to win. So, hey, I got a limited amount of time of being a top-flight athlete. I've done what I'm supposed to do. I wanted to make it work here in this situation, but it's time for me to go somewhere else. That's what I feel like's happening to Damian Lillard. So now, if you're going to leave your Dame, you either leave now or you stay for the rest of your time there and you don't bring this up. This is the offseason you can do it and it's not annoying. If Dame says, I want to be here and then does this at the end of next season, I think the fan response is drastically different. A lot of how you play a trade request is how you play the PR game. And for someone who has done as much for Portland as Dame has, and if we want to talk about a guy who hasn't won a championship, Dame has completely, I think, mapped what you can do. Very different than a guy like Russell Westbrook, for example. Like, once KD left, OKC never really did anything. The Blazers have played in the conference finals. They've won playoff series with Damian Lillard. So I don't really have any issue with Dame asking to be traded. Someone on the text line says, didn't Dame say a few years ago he would never do a super team? He'd rather stay at one team and never win a title than do it the easy way. Man, things change. People change. And this is the thing, too, that I think sort of drives these guys to make these decisions. Fans mock players who don't win rings. You can say whatever you want about Kevin Durant. And I don't like his decision from a competition standpoint. History will look at Kevin Durant differently because he was on that Warriors team.
Like, once the emotion subsides of you joining the team, history just says that you won multiple championships. Charles Barkley would be more as beloved as Charles is right now. Think about whenever you watch Inside the NBA, Rob. The only thing you can say to Charles is you never won a championship. What could you say to Charles if he had won one ring? Even if he had been on the end of a bench with another team, you won a championship. So I get Dame wanting to stay and wanting to do it the right way. If you're a top five, top 10 guy in the league the way that he is, and you're looking at your own NBA mortality and you realize that you got a chance to win a championship, I think you got to take that opportunity.
What I'll never understand about fans, and this is more about Tony Gonzalez than Dame, because Dame's team has had relative success. They just haven't had the highest success. Is it Chiefs fans crush Gonzalez? And they say he shouldn't have requested a trade, he should have written it out, blah, blah, blah. Gonzalez trade helped the team long term. I know Chiefs fans don't want to hear that, but when they traded Tony Gonzalez, they got back a left tackle they had on the team for 7+ years in Brandon Albert. The team was more equipped to win because of Brandon Albert than Tony Gonzalez. Tony Gonzalez chose what's best for his future, and the Chiefs maximized that. If these kind of things happened and the team is able to maximize the player's value, in theory, everyone wins and fans should never be mad. Now, they're outliers, obviously. Free agency is an outlier. The team doesn't win in free agency. And the Rockets trading Harden, they basically got nothing back, so that's a bad example. But generally speaking, the ire fans have toward players' trade requests always confuses me. The team's in a bad spot. We have one good player. We can turn that player into multiple helping positions that makes the team better, and that guy now is not a drag on the team. I don't understand why trade requests by fans aren't met with more, I'm sorry to have you leave, but I'm happy that for the health of the team going forward.
And this is the thing, too, that I think the super team notion has gotten a little bit of a bad rap, and I get it. The way that the Miami Heat were put together was so unorthodox that sort of like shifted the paradigm of all of these things, right? Someone said to the texter with the super team comment, that's the league now. This is where I legitimately think that Jordan broke the league, right? You are not winning a championship unless you have two top five players in the league or three elite players. The Suns don't have two top five players, right? Like, no one says Chris Paul is a top five player in the league or Devin Booker is a top five player. But Booker's arguably the best young player under 25. I would say right now he's either the best or you put him right behind Luka of under 25-year-old players.
Trey Young's in that list too, by the way.
I think you got to put Devin Booker ahead of Trey Young.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's the grouping.
Chris Paul's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and DeAndre Ayton is arguably the third best big man in the NBA. AD1, MB2, Ayton 3 right now. So you got three super high-end players. If you're Damian Lillard and you don't team up with another guy who's in the top 20, you'll always be where you are. There's nothing wrong with that. Dame's made great money. He's in a city that's beloved, but he will never have a realistic chance of ever achieving his ultimate goal. And you got to live with that. I think he's sort of capped out on where he is. He's capped out. Now's your time to try to go to Golden State, try to go to Boston, try to go to Philadelphia, and try to give yourself 2 to 3 years to potentially win a championship. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by our last mystery Royals guest. We had David DeJesus on earlier today. We'll give you our last and final mystery guest next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.